In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is the last Sunday before the beginning of the Great Fast, which is the longest and the most ascetic of the fasts of the Church that we have the entire year. And we read from the Scripture the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ to the people, telling them how is it that they should fast. And he says to them in Matthew chapter 6, he says, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." So the Lord speaks to us about the importance of fasting, and the fasting should be done for the Lord alone and not to be done for the sake of being seen by anyone. And when we practice the fast in the right way, in the spiritual way, it can be a great benefit. Sometimes we feel like we go through the entire fast and by the end we feel kind of sick of it and tired of it and looking forward to the end of the fast, while maybe at the same time feeling we haven't really benefited anything spiritually from the fast throughout. So I want to speak a little bit about the spirituality of the fast, and that it's not simply about changing our food and being so mindful only of the ingredients of what we eat, but there's more to it than this. What is the purpose of fasting? So the purpose of fasting partly is to gain mastery over oneself, so that we are in control of ourselves, and that whatever desires that we have, we are able to be in control. And this is about desires that are not necessarily sinful desires. For instance, our desire to eat certain foods is not a sin. It's not a sin to eat these foods. And actually, the Lord declared that all foods are clean to eat, and we can eat any food that we want. But when we restrict ourselves from eating, it's not because we're trying to avoid sin. It's not because that if we eat, it is somehow wrong or sinful, or that it would not be pleasing to God. So we are restricting ourselves from doing something that is lawful and good, to train ourselves to have mastery over ourselves so that we can control our desires. We can control our passions. I remember one time His Holiness Pope Shenouda said that when he realized that he was drinking tea every day, he found himself unable to break it. So he told himself, "I'm going to fast from tea. I'm no longer going to drink tea," simply because he felt like it was the desire that was overwhelming him, and he wanted to break it so that nothing controlled him. And of course, tea is even fasting. It's something that we would be allowed to drink in the fast. So the Church lays out these guidelines of fasting as a principle, but the purpose is to gain mastery over oneself. Also, it's to liberate oneself from attachments of the world so that we can be more focused on the kingdom of God. When we are focused very much on our body, on our needs, on our desires, on the things that we want, on our goals, on pursuing them, and our mind becomes completely revolving around these things, the things of the kingdom of God seem to be secondary. They don't seem to be as important in our minds, because what occupies our thoughts is obtaining our desires. Again, maybe our desires are good. Maybe we have good and normal, natural desires that we want to pursue in our life. But how much do they occupy our thoughts and our time and our energy? And what is it that I'm willing to sacrifice in order to attain those goals for myself and obtain those things for myself, compared to growing in my spiritual life? So fasting is another opportunity for us to kind of reset and think about what is it that I should be doing for the kingdom of God, and what is really my ultimate goal in life? Is it just to accumulate possessions and things in the world, or am I seeking something beyond that? It also gives us the power to struggle against sin. So again, fasting is not that we are abstaining from something that is sinful, but it grants us the ability that, having now been tempted by sin, because I can control my desires, I'm able to resist much more than maybe I would have been able to resist if I'm used to just giving my flesh everything that it desires. The moment that I have any desire, I immediately give my flesh everything, right? Then it's going to be much harder for me to resist against temptation and sin. Also, we see that there are some types of afflictions, of spiritual afflictions, that can only be cured by fasting. When the Lord was speaking to the disciples about a man who was demon-possessed, and the disciples prayed over this man to be freed from his demon possession, but they were not able to cast out the demon. And the Lord cast out the demon, and he told them, however, this kind cannot go out except by prayer and fasting. Meaning the Lord sees our fasting. There is, when God sees our prayer, you know, maybe sometimes we pray for something incessantly even. We pray for something very much. And here the apostles themselves were praying. Apostles were miracle workers. God had given them the ability to perform miracles and to cast out demons and to do all of these things. And yet even for them, these holy men, these apostles of Christ, they were not able to cast out a demon. And the Lord told them, it's because you have to fast. It's not just about the prayer only, but you have to fast. Fasting accompanies our prayer and strengthens our prayer and strengthens our spiritual life. And this is again why the church places for us these different seasons of fasting for us to benefit from. What are some misconceptions about fasting? A person does not fast because it pleases God that we don't eat. It's not that God desires that we do not eat. The eating or the lack of eating is irrelevant to God. He doesn't care about the eating or the not eating. Actually, the devil himself does not eat, but the devil is not pleasing to God simply because he does not eat. Also, we do not fast to afflict ourselves and to suffer pain because somehow God is satisfied with our pain. Some people think about God that he's happy when we're upset. You know, when we speak about suffering in the world and God allows suffering, that somehow our suffering and our pain is pleasing to God. It's not pleasing to God. And actually, when God sees our suffering and our pain, the pain itself is not pleasing to God. It's not that he enjoys it when we are afflicted. Just like no parent is enjoying to see their children afflicted, to see their children in pain, to see them in sorrow, to see them crying. Now, maybe they allow whatever situation it is that allows their children pain for a greater purpose, because there is some benefit to it, and they're willing to tolerate the pain of their children because the goal is greater than the suffering that they are experiencing. Of course, parents, when they discipline their children, they have to do this. They have to endure the tears of their children because they believe that the lesson that is being taught is greater than this suffering. But it doesn't mean that the suffering itself is enjoyable. It doesn't mean this is not the goal, is simply to get our children to suffer, nor is it the goal of God to see us to suffer. This is not his goal, nor this is his pleasure. Also, we do not fast because we think that somehow it's going to compensate or be some kind of reparation for sins that we've committed, as though saying that we are going to undo our sins or earn the forgiveness of sins because of our fasting, and that otherwise we would not be forgiven. Actually, we know that Christ forgave, and he forgives anyone who comes to him in repentance. Maybe fasting is part of our show of repentance. It's part of our demonstration of repentance. But it is not the same thing as saying we are compensating for our sins. Like, okay, I committed this many sins, so if I fast this many days, then now that's going to compensate for it. No, this is again not what the purpose of fasting is. We fast because we want to be delivered from the carnal passions. We fast because those carnal passions are an obstacle between us and God. And because we love God and we want to be with him, we want to remove every obstacle. We want to remove everything that prevents us from experiencing God to the fullest. And what is it that is preventing us? It's our sin. It's our passion. It's our desires for everything else other than God and our pursuit of those desires. And through in fasting, we break those desires. We break them so that they're no longer something that has a hold of my life, and therefore I can be with God more. I can cling to God more. I can feel the presence of God in my life more. But fasting without any type of effort at gaining virtue or growing spiritually is in vain. It's in vain. It is not just about changing my food, but changing my food and denying myself something that I want is part of a greater regimen of spiritual growth that we have to partake of the fast in the fast. So the fasting is not just about let me change my diet, let me buy different food at the grocery store than I used to before. It has to be accompanied by a desire and for virtue, a desire to pray more, a desire for transformation and repentance in my life, and fasting will support that desire. Fasting will support that choice of wanting to grow closer to God. But it just fasting and changing my food alone without anything else is not of any benefit. And this is what God said to the Israelites who were doing this. He said, why have we fasted, they say. So the people are asking, like, what's the benefit of fasting? Why is it that we have fasted and you have not seen? Like, why is it, God, that we are fasting and we changed our food, we did what you asked us to do, but you have not answered us, you have not seen, you have not responded to us in our fast? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? The people are telling this to God, like, why is it that we have fasted, but you don't treat us any differently, you don't answer our prayers, you don't save us, you don't save us from our enemies? Why is it that you have taken no notice? In fact, this is, and then this is what God is saying to them. In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure. So he's saying, are you really fasting, or are you just changing some of your food, but you are not actually seeking God? You are not living out any type of asceticism. You are not really repenting. You are just pleasing yourselves in every way. And then you are saying that you are fasting. And exploit all your laborers, meaning you are sinning. You are exploiting these laborers, these people, even during the time of fast, and you are thinking that I'm going to be happy with you, and what is it that you are doing? Indeed, you fast for strife and debate, meaning you are always argumentative, during the time of fast, and to strike with the fist of wickedness, right? So all of these things were still happening during the time of fasting. They were wicked, they were argumentative, they were contentious, they were fighting, they were still seeking a life of pleasure, even while they say, oh, we are fasting. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen? God is saying, is this the fast that I'm telling you to fast, the way you're doing it? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? He's saying all these external aspects of fasting. We put on sackcloth and ashes, and we bow down on our knees, and we do these things. Are these external acts alone, are they what fasting is about? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? And then he describes what he sees as being a real fast, the fast that he wants the people to fast. He says, to loose the bonds, is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh, then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily. So everything that he focused on was not just the food aspect of the fast, but our change of behavior, our behavior of sharing our things with others, our behavior of being kind and giving to those who are in need, our behavior of loosing the bonds of wickedness and growing in the spirit and having a true spirit of repentance. All these things have to come along with the fast, because he said, if you fast otherwise without these things, then this fast is not accepted. Right, and we don't want that after 55 days of fasting, that at the end of the fast, God says, your fast was not accepted, right? All you did was change the ingredients of your food. So we want to consecrate the fast to be one where we're not just changing the food, but changing the food is part of a bigger project, right, that we are trying to do to loose the bonds of wickedness, that we are actually fasting from sin. There's this story about this Bishop Epiphanius, and it says, Epiphanius, Bishop of Cyprus, called the abbot Hilarion to see him. A portion of fowl, which is a bird, was set before them, and the bishop invited the abbot to eat. The old man said, forgive me, father, but since the time I took this habit, I have never eaten anything that has been killed. So this abbot is telling the bishop, you're asking me to eat this bird, but I have never eaten any animal. I've never eaten any animal. Please, you know, excuse me. And Epiphanius, the bishop, said to him, and from the time I took this habit, meaning from the time that I have become a bishop or a monk, I have let no man sleep who has anything against me, neither have I slept holding anything against anyone. So while this abbot is telling him, I cannot eat the bird because I've never eaten an animal, the bishop is saying, well, what I have done since the beginning of my monasticism is I have never led anyone to be upset with me or to sleep with anyone who is upset with me. And the old man, who is the abbot, said to him, forgive me, Father, for your way of life is greater than mine. Right, so the one man was focused so much on the ascetic practice and was boasting in the ascetic practice, while the other was saying, no, actually, what is behind the ascetic practice is to grow in virtue. And if we have the virtue, this is the goal of the fast. It is not just the changing of the food. There's another father, his name is Abba Dorotheus, and he said, in fasting, one must not only obey the rule against gluttony in regard to food, but refrain from every sin, so that while fasting, the tongue may also fast, refraining from slander, lies, evil talking, degrading one's brother, anger, and every sin committed by the tongue. One should also fast with the eyes, that is, not to look at vain things, not look shamefully or fearlessly at anyone. The hands and feet should also be kept from every evil action. So the fasting is like a fast of our whole being. It is not just a fast of the stomach. It is a fast where we are struggling against sin and breaking the bad habits that maybe we have developed over the years. This is the time to address them. What are some other characteristics of the fast? It should be done without pride, meaning we should not be looking at ourselves and being prideful at what we are accomplishing or what we have done, or thinking that because we have successfully eaten vegan food for 55 days that we are to be praised, or that we have done God a favor, or that I have done something great. No, actually, we are not doing any of those things. Abba Dorotheus also says, when one fasts through vanity or thinking that he is achieving something, especially virtuous, he fasts foolishly and soon begins to criticize others and to consider himself something great. Actually, the pride destroys the benefits of the fast. We don't look at ourselves and feel like we have done something, accomplished something. No, we are actually coming to God in brokenness and repentance, begging, asking for God's mercy to forgive us our sins, not because we want him to reward us because of our great fasting, or because of our great asceticism. No, actually, our asceticism and our fasting is begging at the feet of God to forgive us our many sins that we know about ourselves. And again, a part of fasting is to examine oneself and to know what is it that is our sin, that we are unworthy to stand before God. We are unworthy of all the gifts that he has given us, and we are coming to him with a spirit of brokenness, not a spirit of pride. Finally, the last thing I want to speak about is how the belly can be a source of destruction for us. There were some hesychast monks, they said this. It said, eating beyond the point of being satisfied is the door of madness through which lust enters, for the belly is the queen of passions which man serves as a slave. And if we ask ourselves, how much do we eat even beyond the point of being satisfied, maybe we'll find that this happens very often. And maybe it happens very often even right before the fast, because we believe that we're going to fast for 55 days, and so we have to get in as many meals as we can prior to the beginning of the fast. But here these monks, they say, eating beyond the point of being satisfied is the door of madness, right? Because what is the purpose of the food? The food is supposed to support one's life. It's for the sake of living, right? It's supposed to be an indulgence and a pleasure, but this is what we turn it to be something for us to indulge in. And this is what makes fasting maybe all the more difficult, is because we are used to in this indulgence, and during the time of fasting we are not supposed to indulge, and we find ways to indulge even in the fast, which again defeats the purpose of the fast. This is what the Lord said in the book of Isaiah. He's saying, you find pleasure in your fast, you still find a way to enjoy everything, right? The purpose of fasting is that you don't enjoy. Right, it's not just about changing to a different type of food that you still enjoy just as much. It's about not enjoying it, right? And not enjoying it. This is again why His Holiness Pope Shenouda, when he felt like he was drinking too much tea, he stopped the tea, even though the tea is a fasting. You can drink tea. You can drink as much tea as you want in the fast. The purpose of it, though, was that he felt he was enjoying it too much. He was enjoying it too much, and that he couldn't stop, and so he told himself that he would, and he began to fast from it. So the idea of the lusts of the belly something that can lead a person to destruction and to be unable to fast successfully at all. Isaac the Syrian, he says, meager food at the table of the pure cleanses the soul of those who partake from all passion. For the work of fasting and vigil is the beginning of every effort against sin and lust. Almost all passionate drives decrease through fasting. Meaning, if you are struggling with lust, if you are struggling with jealousy, if you are struggling with all kinds of temptations, if you fast, you will find that breaking these is much easier. Because you are not taken with all of your passionate desires. You are not taken with just constantly wanting to fill yourself with everything that your senses see. Everything that you see, everything you touch, everything you can smell, everything you can hear, that is constant stimulus and input to yourself that causes you to want to obtain and desire and to have all these things. And then when someone says, no, don't touch and don't taste and don't smell and don't look, well, maybe this is impossible. I don't know how to stop that. I don't know how to change that. It's programmed into me to want to respond to all of these stimuli. But fasting breaks that. Fasting makes it so that we have a chance to stop going after those things maybe which are a temptation to us. So in this Sunday, which is the preparation Sunday, the Sunday before the great fast, we're asking God to grant us a fast that is holy and good and firmly founded in the right principles, not just to change our food, but to really make it to be a time of spiritual growth where we experience God more. And that on the flip side, on the other side of the fast, when we can come back to eating meat again, that we have benefited something that we carry with us throughout the rest of the year, that we are breaking these bonds of wickedness in our lives, and that we have a closer and more firmly footed relationship with God after we are done with the fast. So may God bless our fast and allow us to fast the entire fast with holiness and with faithfulness. And glory be to God forever. Amen.